The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. Do you like your gravy thick and rich and loaded with creamy mushrooms? If no one was looking, would you chug the whole gravy boat?
Chug, 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 chug.
Stay tuned. Here comes Mr. Chug-a-Lug himself, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. Welcome to Thursday. Alvin, I believe it's Thursday.
It is Thursday all
day. I believe that is because yesterday I woke up in Orlando at the NRB and then I flew to Nashville where I am now. I am now, well, today I get to go home to New York, but I, last night I spoke TPUSA Faith. That's Charlie Kirk's organization. They've got a faith arm and they did a pastor's conference last night. There were well over 1,000 people in attendance. I was kind of the cleanup hitter for the evening and spoke about my book, Letter to the American Church. And by the way, I keep mentioning it, but I won't stop. There's a study guide if your church is involved in has small groups and wants to do Letter to the American Church. There's a study guide now that is out with it that's available anywhere. You can get it at SocratesInTheCity.com. or at Amazon or whatever. But so I spoke last night. There were so many pastor friends there. It was amazing. And I spoke on my book, Letter to the American Church. But it really is crazy because right now we are in a battle. And I want to mention this because I say these things on Twitter. But we're in a battle right now where the demonic is becoming more explicit. You have Target stores, ladies and gentlemen, Target stores. I hope you never will shop in a Target. I mean, you got to take this seriously. They are promoting insane transgender clothing. So they're promoting this stuff. They hired a Satanist, an actual Satanist, to create pro-Satan, pro-trans clothing. We're not making this up. If you follow me on Twitter, you can see all this stuff. We have to send a signal to these folks. And if you don't, you're helping them to continue this. This is a war for our kids. It sounds so preposterous that what I'm saying is true, but it is absolutely true. Target needs to understand that we are not going to shop. I mean, Target has been bad for a long time. But this is, they take it to another level and they're going to get away with what they can get away with. They're going to push until we push back. We know what just happened with Bud Light. Now, by the way, Bud Light, they're not just pushing Dylan Mulvaney and trans stuff on America. That's all of Anheuser-Busch, a huge corporation. Stella Artois beer. I will never drink another Stella beer because Anheuser-Busch has gotten behind this incredibly sick agenda. One of the worst examples is the LA Dodgers, okay? All of these corporations are woke. All of these corporations are, they're nuts, and they're pushing a pride agenda. They're going along with Pride Month, and they're pushing this at everyone. They have total contempt for your average American, for the people that spend money. And what the LA Dodgers have done recently, I don't want to talk about it now. It's just too sick. It's too sick. But if you do not take this seriously, you become part of the problem. You're letting them get away with this. And I want to be clear, folks, we have an opportunity to let them know we will never allow you to do this, not to us, not to our children. When you show that kind of contempt for Americans with Christian values, with biblical values, with Judeo-Christian values, you need to pay a price. You need to go out of business. So Target, the LA Dodgers, Anheuser-Busch, Bud Light, there are lots of others I could mention, but we've got to take this seriously. And now if you don't take it seriously, you haven't woken up yet. You're still asleep, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse. So I wanted to say that up front because it is so dark. On a positive note, there are many wonderful things happening. For one thing, we're doing a campaign with Christian Solidarity International. You have an opportunity to free slaves in Sudan. This is just a magnificent opportunity. We've been talking about this for this whole month. You just have a few days left to participate. Now, most of you listen to this program, you haven't participated. And I want to say, this is a great opportunity. This is a privilege. Anything you give, you'll feel great by giving anything. You want to go to MetaxasTalk.com, MetaxasTalk.com. You'll see the banner. We just got a few days left, but I want to exhort everyone to participate, to do anything, something. This is as beautiful an opportunity as exists. I can't believe CSI makes it possible for us. Some of you have been generous, but most of you haven't participated. And I want to ask you, please do that. Go to MetaxasTalk.com. There's a phone number, 888-253-3522, 888-253-3522. I will throw this out there again. If there is anybody who can give $10,000 or more, some people can give way more than that. I would love to have dinner with you. I just put that out there as a way to thank you. But we need people to give small amounts. We need everyone to give a small amount. And again, the number is 888-253-3522, 888-253-3522, or go to MetaxasTalk.com. But I'm just begging everybody to participate somehow. It doesn't matter the amount, but just to say yes, just to register that you understand this.
Yeah, just real quick, we're going to have three grand prizes like we do for our campaign. So any amount gets you registered for a possibility to win one of the three grand prizes. So do that. You're going to help free a slave. That's the biggest prize of all, of course. But we're also trying to encourage people with a little
bit. Just to say thank you to anybody. So we have three grand prizes that we'll pick randomly. Doesn't matter if you give $5 or $5,000. It makes no difference. We want to encourage you on that. I also want to say, we've talked about this. There's a film out right now. This is so important. I've seen the film. It's called The Real Anthony Fauci. Now, this is based on the book by Robert Kennedy Jr. When you see the collusion between big pharma, big tech, big government to crush freedom in America and to force everyone to take an untested experimental, they call it a vaccine. It's not even a vaccine. This is wicked, folks. It is anti-American on every level that they did this. But this is what greed does, gigantic money, power. And you can connect the dots when you see the film, The Real Anthony Fauci. Now, for a few days more, it is free. You can see the film for free. So I want to tell you to go to the real AnthonyFauciMovie.com. I've seen it. You need to know how this happened so it can never happen again. The real AnthonyFauciMovie.com. The real AnthonyFauciMovie.com. Now, by the way, today's show, I should have said this up front. I'm an idiot, but you knew that. My guest is going to be Dennis Prager. I really love Dennis. And I had just a freewheeling, fascinating conversation with him. It didn't go far enough. There were so many things I wanted to say when it was over. But for this hour and part of the next hour, I had a freewheeling conversation with him on some comments he's made lately and his willingness to kind of have this freewheeling conversation with me to explore the ideas behind why he said what he said. And I just want to say, this is what it's all about, folks. Free speech, honest conversation, Socratic dialogue. This is like, you know, Jesus rabbinic questions, right? Asking questions and back and forth. So I'm talking to Dennis Prager. It's an important conversation. We want you to share these conversations. We put them out. Sign up for my newsletter, please, at ericmetaxas.com. When you go to ericmetaxas.com, it'll pop right up, ericmetaxas.com, so you can share these things. So we got Dennis Prager. Later on, we have the comedian J.P. Sears. Lots more. Stick around.
I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of iconic American brands selling us out to appease radical leftists. But it's not just beer and sneakers. For years, big mobile companies have been dumping millions into leftist causes, and we had to take it because another option didn't exist. Well, now it does. Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, offers dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks, so you get the best possible service in your area without the woke propaganda pushed by people trying to destroy this country. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support free speech, religious freedom, the sanctity of life, the Second Amendment, our military veterans, and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Metaxas, M-E-T-A-X-A-S, or call them 978-PATRIOT. Get free activation today with the offer code Metaxas, spelled M-E-T-A-X-A-S. Ask about their coverage guarantee while you're there. That's patriotmobile.com/Metaxas.
Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. In a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime. You'll see transparent pricing on each coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit legacypminvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. This new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit legacypminvestments.com to get started. You're going to love this free new tool they've added, legacypminvestments.com, legacypminvestments.com. Check it out. Folks, welcome back. I warned you that if you misbehaved, I would bring Dennis Prager on.
And they misbehaved?
And they misbehaved. They've been very bad. And I said, I'm going to have to bring Dennis on, and he's gonna chastise you. Dennis, I love you so much, and I am just thrilled that I'm here with you in person. We're at the NRB in Orlando, and we get to sit together and kibitz. That's a Greek term. And talk about anything, but the problem is, where do we begin? I kind of want to ask you everything. Is there anything you want to say before I ask you?
Well, I don't even know if it's worth doing now, but since I can talk to you about really heavy-duty stuff, and you've thought a lot through, I have, this could take up the whole time, and if you say, let's do that when we have a quiet time together on your show or my show, that's fine with me. But I've been meditating a lot and even now reading and writing on a very interesting theological and moral question of sinful thought.
Sinful thought.
Yeah. Because I do have trouble with the concept of sinful thought.
Okay, so you obviously are serious about your Jewish faith, and you
right.
have written, in case people don't know this, some people maybe think, oh, you know, Dennis is a conservative talk show host. You have written in depth about the first books
of the Torah, the
Torah,
first five books of the Bible.
And
right.
you are, it's not too much to say that you're a theologian who has really a deep knowledge of what it says. So you're coming from that perspective. You're
right.
not coming from a quote-unquote Christian perspective.
No, that's correct. And I'm coming also just from my favorite perspective, ironically, or at least tied for number one, is a logic perspective. That's why I titled my Bible commentary The Rational Bible, because reason is my vehicle to God.
Okay,
and
now,
I think God wants us to be reasonable.
Well, I don't think there's any question about that. I don't even think you need to say that, but you do say that because I think maybe it needs saying in this day and age, because people don't understand that the God of the Bible invented what I like to call reality, and logic is something that we are designed by him to use to apprehend reality and truth.
Yeah, that's right. That's my view. It's your view. It should be everybody's view.
Yeah.
So anyway, I've been thinking about this a lot. Is this a Jewish-Christian difference? Which it doesn't bother me if it does.
Well, let's see. I believe there's only one truth. So let's leave where this takes us.
Well, that's a very fair challenge. There is one truth, but I don't know if there's one theological truth.
I guess the reason I say that, Dennis, is that because I came to faith late in life, okay, around my 25th birthday, I often would, I was so happy to find God and to believe that the Bible is the word of God that I realized that those who are secularists or atheists or whatever are confused, and I had been among them, and I was just happy to discover that there is such a thing as truth, that the God of the Bible is real and true. And so a lot of the things that would divide people theologically, I would almost reflexively say, like, listen, you know, these are some minor issues that you're quibbling about. We can have a conversation about it. Is there free will? Isn't there free will? You know, some people just are willing to die on comes up.
The only reason I raise this, A, because I think it has some significance, because I wrestle with it, but B, you know my life is devoted to the promulgation of what we call Judeo-Christian values. And when people challenge me, Jews or Christians, both do, well, what do you mean? They're separate religions. I go, A, I'm not saying they're not. I don't speak about Judeo-Christian theology. I think about Judeo-Christian values.
Let me say they are and they aren't. It's a little complicated. We're not talking about Buddhism and Christianity.
Correct.
There is no question that Christianity is at least a Jewish faith.
It's right.
There's just no way around that. There's not a word of the Old Testament that I would say is not inspired by God.
We're the only two religions that share a Bible. That's very important for people to understand who challenge the concept of Judeo-Christian. We don't say Judeo-Islamic. We don't say Islamo-Christian or Christian-Islamic.
Yeah.
Because we don't share a Bible with Muslims. It's not a knock on Muslims.
Right.
It's just a statement of fact.
Right. Well, so
we share the Old Testament, which is a big deal.
It's a very big deal. It's the only testament Jesus was aware of during
yes,
his lifetime.
Yes, that's right. Very
so,
important.
So let me say that the reason I said what I said earlier is just that what has fascinated me, I don't identify as a Roman Catholic, right? I grew up in the Greek Orthodox Church, but I don't identify publicly as Greek Orthodox. I just say I'm a Christian, a mere Christian along the C.S. Lewis lines, because I'm interested in what is true. So if the Catholics can teach me something that my evangelical brethren missed, I'm all for it. I'm simply totally. For what is true.
Right.
On the issue of the unborn, the Catholics took the lead on that. The evangelicals were way behind understanding, like, hey, if you want a biblical view of the unborn, you better be against abortion. So my attitude is I feel like I can learn truth from many
I fully agree.
Sources. But where were you going? You in the beginning, you said you're
right.
talking
so,
about...
So the issue of sinful thought is one of the few areas where I thought there might be a Jewish-Christian difference. And it doesn't matter to me if there is.
Right.
But on... I have an interesting challenge, though, to those who say that sinful thoughts are sins. And the interesting challenge, because I've been thinking about this a great deal recently, is if bad thoughts are bad, then good thoughts are good. But that's not true.
Well, no,
the amount of evil done by people with good thoughts is greater than evil done by people with evil thoughts.
But you're eliding some differences here. Let's slow down. When we're talking about bad thoughts or good thoughts, we have to define what we mean.
Correct.
If in my mind, okay, I am thinking vicious, hateful thoughts about someone, and I am approving in my mind of those thoughts. Now, this is not just like I had this nasty thought, and then I said, "Well, that's not very nice," but I go with it. I seem to, you know, let's say I'm planning the demise of someone, if not their utter demise, then them suffering or something like that. I think God judges those thoughts as evil. Now, would it be worse if I actually did the thing? Yeah. But if I allow those thoughts, if I have free will and I allow those thoughts to run around in my head and kind of enjoy them, in a sense, I'm participating. My will is participating in it. So it's not like, oh, I had a lustful thought and I said, I shouldn't have that lustful thought. But you sort of go with it. So in other words, it kind of depends where does the thought come from and then what do we do with the thought. But there are people, you know this, that they are thinking vicious, murderous, nasty things about others. Maybe they don't have an opportunity to do anything. Maybe they don't have the courage to do anything. But they're enjoying the suffering in their mind of this other person. That, to me, cannot be part of God's will.
Well, it's like when I ask young people, would you save your dog or a stranger first? So 2/3 of them don't vote for the stranger. They either don't know or they vote for their dog. And I tell them, well, you should vote for the stranger because humans are created in God's image and dogs are not. And I don't totally understand the love of a dog. Frequently a kid will say, oh, yeah, well, what if Hitler's drowning? So I say, well, I said a stranger. So you've already changed my question. It's not a stranger. But so to use him as the paragon of evil, if you will, it's you wouldn't have a problem with wishing vicious thoughts and desire for suffering on Hitler.
You know something? Maybe I would. I actually don't know the answer to that question. In other words, I think that, and you know this is true, God is the ultimate judge of what we deserve. We want justice. So is there any question that I think... I mean, look, you don't need to talk about Hitler. You can talk about a kid torturing animals...
That's
and you,
right.
You just say that I want to smack that kid or I want his mother or father to smack that. He needs to pay a price. That's an evil thing that he's doing. He needs to, you know.
So that's not a vicious thought.
Because you're wanting justice, you're wanting it to be corrected. Okay, you know what? We're going to a break. We're having a lovely philosophical and theological conversation with Dennis Prager. Ladies and gentlemen, he's seated right here. We'll be right back. Are you tired of not getting a good night's sleep? Well, my friend Mike Lindell has created the perfect solution. He didn't just stop at the pillow. He also created the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, made from the world's best cotton called Giza. These sheets are ultra soft and breathable, yet extremely durable. And now for a limited time, you can get 50% off the Giza Dream Sheets with prices starting as low as $29.98. These sheets come in a variety of sizes and colors and have a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Take advantage of this amazing offer. Go to MyPillow.com. And click on the radio podcast square and use promo code Metaxas at checkout. You can also find deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the MyPillow 2.0 mattress topper and MyPillow towel sets. Don't wait any longer to get the best sleep of your life. Take advantage of this amazing offer. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square and use promo code Eric at checkout. Don't wait any longer to get the best sleep of your life. Call 800-978-3057 or go to MyPillow.com now and use promo code Eric.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful at lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Just the other night, I was asked that question. Well, the owners of Relief Factor tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. That's right, designed to heal. And I agree with them. And the doctors who formulated Relief Factor for them selected the four best ingredients. Yes, 100% drug-free ingredients. And each one of them helps your body deal with inflammation. Each of the four ingredients deals with inflammation from a different metabolic pathway. That's the point. So approaching from four different angles may be why so many people find such wonderful relief. If you've got back pain, shoulder, neck, hip, knee, or foot pain from exercise or just getting older, you should order the 3-week quick start discounted to only $19.95 to see if it'll work for you. It has worked for about 70% of the 500,000 people who've tried it and have ordered more. I'm one of them. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out about this offer. Feel the difference. Welcome back. I'm talking to Dennis Prager. We're just having a fun, rambling, freewheeling Marx Brothers type conversation about good and evil.
I'm Groucho. Which one are you?
Chico. Or Harpo. I don't care. As long as I'm not Shemp, because he was not a Marx Brother.
That was a true knowledge of the Marx Brothers.
Oh,
that was
course.
Very impressive.
Of course. There's Gummo. There's Zeppo. But let's talk about Shemp. No, seriously, let's talk about what you were just talking about. In other words, we have to be clear, because there are certain people who would love to see someone suffer. And then there are other people that just have a sense of justice. They would say that what so-and-so has done is evil, and so-and-so needs to pay a price for that evil. That's, to me, a normal, healthy response. But there are people who delight in someone else's suffering. And to me, you know, that can become sick, because it sort of pulls us away from thinking that it's God's business how someone suffers or whatever. We have to figure
all
this
right,
stuff
so,
out.
All right, so the issue arose in discussions that I had all of my life. This is not new. Is Matthew 5, 27, 28, or 26, 27. Jesus says, whoever looks upon a woman with lust, it's as if he's committed adultery with his heart. So I looked into this.
He says, whoever looks at a woman to lust after her. Depends on the translation, but go ahead.
Okay,
yeah.
So I never understood that. And I don't mean that as I... Often people say I didn't understand, meaning I don't agree. I literally didn't understand
it.
Right. Since every normal male has lustful feelings... either for a man if he's gay, or for a woman if he's not, if he's heterosexual. That is built into us by the Creator, God.
And now, okay, I'm going to end up quibbling with you, but go ahead.
So, I never understood that, but it doesn't matter. What matters is, since I did research recently, and I don't know if you know the Greek in the New Testament.
Look,
I don't.
Look,
I know the Hebrew of the Old Testament.
I am Greek, and I know the Greek in the New Testament. That's Luke. Is that who you're referring to?
No.
He was the Greek in the New Testament.
I'm referring to the original Greek New Testament in Matthew.
I was joking. Familiar with the...
All right, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So I looked it up, and now I believe I truly understand what Jesus meant, and I'm sort of and for me anyway, I'm rescuing Jesus from millennia, or at least a millennium, of mistranslation.
Okay, you and I had this conversation, I think, on the phone, and I was really fascinated by this.
Okay.
So go ahead.
Right. So I looked it up.
Yeah.
What Jesus said was covet.
Covet.
Covet. C-O-V-E-T.
So
covet.
What is translated as
lust.
To lust after
is mistranslation.
Uses a Greek word
yes.
that means to covet.
And you know how I know? Because I don't know Greek, but I'll tell you how I know. Because I then looked up how does the Greek translation of the 10th commandment, which bans coveting, not lusting.
Yeah.
The exact same word. Now it makes sense.
Now if I'm annoyed I don't have an interlinear New Testament so I can look this up.
Yeah,
this is truly fascinating.
It is fascinating. I feel that I'm rescuing Jesus, ironically. And I'm also rescuing my belief that if it doesn't make sense, it's not divine. God wants us to make sense.
But can I make sense of it? Or at least let me make an effort to make sense of it along the more traditional lines than what you're suggesting. I think how it's traditionally understood, because people really, there's so much sloppy thinking. If someone has an untoward desire of any kind, it could be sexual, whatever, we know that we're fallen human beings and that these desires arise. The question is, what does one do with that desire?
Right, which makes the action the arbiter.
Well, what I mean is,
oh,
what
do you
does
pickle
one
it?
Do in
I
one's
see.
Head?
Okay.
Okay, so
yeah.
The point is, if someone has a lustful desire for someone other than one's wife, if one's a man, and I'm going to identify for man for the purposes of the conversation, you would quickly realize that God doesn't want me to follow that, or at least my understanding is God doesn't want me to follow that and to enjoy that, to now bring my will into it. Up until now, it's been an involuntary thing, but I see it and I say no, because in my mind, I'm being unfaithful to my wife, even though I'm not doing it literally. And so that's to me been the traditional interpretation, is that God is saying that, you know, you feel like you've got an out here, like you can do it in your mind all you want, but I'm telling you, no, I would prefer that you did not do that, that you're doing
right,
something adulterous
that,
with your mind.
That isn't lust. That is coveting. And there, I have proof, and I wrote it in my rational
yeah.
Bible.
Yeah.
I have proof they're not the same. First, there's the term for lust in Hebrew doesn't really exist as a sexual comment. It doesn't.
But you realize this is a recent thing. In other words, when the word lust, probably going back to
but
the King
it goes
James.
In, yeah, exactly.
No, but what I'm trying to say is you can talk about it. The German word, Lust, okay, it really means desire. It doesn't have a sexual connotation.
Right, but we all think it does in
right,
Matthew.
Right.
So
well,
I'm
now we
to,
do.
Okay, we do. All right. So that's the point. That's what people believe in, and it guides their life. Covet means want to take away. That's
right.
Why you can't covet your neighbor's house. Nobody right. lusts for a house. Nobody has a sexual attraction to a house.
Now, speak for yourself, because you haven't seen some of these houses, my goodness.
All right.
We'll be right back. We're talking to Dennis.
I am speaking for myself,
Prager.
I admit.
Hold on.
Yes, he really walked me over good. He was a credit to his gender. Took me through some changes, Lord, sort of like a...
Welcome back. I'm talking to Dennis Prager. I believe it's pronounced Dennis Prager. Is that correct?
Beautifully
done. Did I nail
done.
It?
No,
I nailed
yeah,
it.
It took you about 8 years.
I nailed it,
and
because I grew up in Queens.
Yeah,
a lot
a
of Jewish
name.
People.
It's a very
I got
tough
it.
Name.
I got it. Okay, now listen. So we're talking about... I love the idea that both of us feel the freedom to have this conversation.
Yeah, as I said, there are very few other than you I would feel so easily
well,
talking about it. Anyway, you love ideas, not because... You love the exercise of the brain for its own sake, but because ideas matter.
Yes, they do. So you're suggesting that because we were talking about the translation of the word lust to, I mean, you've heard the term bloodlust, okay? The word lust has come to take on the connotation.
Well, it had to because it only speaks about a woman. So it's understandable that that's what,
well,
what
no,
is
but
meant.
That word, I'm sure I that word is used in the Bible in other contexts, well, I'm sure.
Well, not in Hebrew because we really don't have a
Well, I'm speaking about
Hebrew
the English equivalent. Word lust.
I know. Well, but we're translating from Hebrew and Greek, so we have to use the Hebrew and
I
Greek.
I know, but now I never lusted after a Strong's concordance until this minute.
That's
but
right.
I wish I had
that's,
a concordance.
That's a great point.
It's just an
but
amazing
But anyway,
thing.
All right, let's assume that Jesus uses the same word as in Greek as do not covet.
Yeah.
Please, people need to understand covet is not lust. Covet means want to take away that which belongs to my neighbor. His house, his servant, anything he owns that's in the 10th commandment, or his wife. That's right. They're all included in there.
Right.
Okay. Or his ox. And while there are men who lust for oxen, it's pretty rare.
Yeah, we don't want to talk about that on the air. It's a family program.
I totally
program.
Understand. Yes.
It's a family program. We're
that's
going to
correct.
Cut that out in post.
Yes. Well, we can take a brief quick on the audience. How many have lusted for an ox?
I have to say, if that's there, true
no
of you,
hands,
please
no
don't raise your hand.
Yeah.
Please do not. I don't, because I don't want to know. But no, seriously, it is so fascinating to me. Because listen, what you and I are talking about ultimately is truth. We're trying to say, what does the word actually say?
Yes,
and by the way,
right.
What the word says matters. I, as a Christian
yes.
who believe that the New Testament is the word of God, what that word actually means matters. It's
right.
significant. So it's
and
not just
yes,
like, let's
correct.
Go with the tradition.
That's why I'm raising it. So here's another question for you. So I asked this of Wayne Grudem, whom I consider one of the leading Christian thinkers alive. And we had a great dialogue in Phoenix. He's with, I think, called the Dallas Theological Seminary. It's located in Phoenix for whatever reason. And I said to him, all right, so we were talking, I did not know then about that it was covet, not lust. So I just used the lust idea. And I said, well, wait a minute. You can't commit adultery if you are single and the woman you're with is single. It may be fornication or whatever term you wish to use, but it can't be adultery if you're both single. Therefore, what if a single man lusts for a single woman? That can't be adultery with your heart because it can't be adultery, period.
It can't be adultery. It would be fornication.
Okay, fine. But
Jesus says adultery.
Right. Meaning one of you has to be married.
Bingo.
Well, I don't know if that's bingo. But
No.
Yes,
bingo. The point is that you're making an important point.
Oh yes,
I don't know where
right.
it's going to lead, but
yeah.
the point is I see where I think it's leading, and it's fascinating.
Yeah, okay. So these people need to think this stuff through. I will tell you an interesting story. And I asked him if I could cite his name. So Alan Estrin is my producer. There is no one in the world I respect more than Alan Estrin.
I'm really hurt by that, but go ahead.
No, I didn't say as much. I said not more.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so you're bailed
All right,
out.
I'll live with it.
Yes. I'm very careful, ladies and gentlemen. Very,
very
careful.
Very careful.
Yeah.
Very legalistic almost.
Oh, legalistic.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go again.
Yes.
An attack on Jews.
That's, you
I
know
can't
what? I know.
Believe it.
When
that was a failed attack
I realized that
on
it,
Jews.
That it could have been, but it wasn't. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay.
No, this is good. This is actually
so
really
valuable.
So
he said to me, in regard to this issue, he said he was completely secular when we met. Completely.
Alan.
Yes. He was born a Jew, but he was a completely secular
right.
Jew, like most Jews are. He was married by a justice of the peace, not in a synagogue, nothing. I brought him to God and religion, largely.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Or
God
I say
used,
this with great...
God used
with
you
great, yes,
to
that's
bring
correct.
Him
I,
to
I
himself.
Totally agree with that. Yes, I'm totally at peace with that
yeah.
Verbiage.
Right, right.
He said, Dennis, the single biggest thing that made me fall in love with Judaism was when you said... Actions are far more significant than thoughts.
Okay.
No, I just want to
well,
share with
goody,
you.
Goody, goody, goody,
that,
goody,
that,
good. I mean, that's good, but I still don't understand what was it so compelling? What was so
because,
compelling about
Because
it?
So many people believe that religion is so strict about how you think. Do I have... 1 minute to offer you a thought?
I don't know. I don't have a producer on this program, so I don't know. Let me
okay.
see.
Okay.
How much time do we have?
You two have 2 minutes.
Go ahead.
Okay, so now having asked the question, I'm not sure I remember the point I wanted to make.
Oh, stop.
Yeah, no, it's very painful. But I that but
you were it, it we were was, talking. Alan Estrin talked about
yes,
how about, it was about, thoughts. You know that we you hear a lot of people talking about. You know, you're not supposed to have evil thoughts. But he what appealed to him was when you explained
yes,
to him
people think,
that our
again,
actions.
So people think. Oh yes, here it is. Here's my story. So if we have, it'll take 90 seconds. Do we have it?
Yes.
Okay. When I was a kid, I was raised Orthodox Jew. I lived in a sort of Jewish cocoon. In Brooklyn, New York, where you could live in a Jewish cocoon. I didn't meet...
Isn't the Jewish word for cocoon shtetl?
Yes.
Okay.
So I but it doesn't apply to butterflies.
Okay.
Yeah, or
good.
Caterpillars.
Thank you.
Yeah. You can't say the caterpillar entered a shtetl.
You can't say that?
No, you would say a cocoon. Yeah.
All right.
Okay, fine.
I'll accept that. I'll allow that. So you grew
so
up...
So I grew up okay.
Yeah.
So, but my mind was always... preoccupied with the other. I wanted to visit every country in the world. I ended up in 130 countries. I wanted to know the non-Jew. I wanted to know Christians. This was in me from elementary school. And I remember when I learned that Christians had to believe in Jesus and they were saved. And I had Christian envy. I had to do all these things, keeping the Sabbath, keeping kosher, all these laws.
Yeah, I've got some good news for you. I'm serious. That cavalier understanding.
I agree with you. It
Christians
doesn't matter.
Have, oh, I believe.
Yeah,
I believe.
You're right. I
oh,
agree
you
with you, but that doesn't
do
matter.
You really?
Because it. Yeah, it does. I really do.
All right. Now, so hold on a second.
Okay.
Because I said 90 seconds. We didn't have 90 seconds.
Okay.
We're going to hit pause, and we have plenty of time to continue this, what I think is an important conversation. Don't go away. Folks, I'm talking to Dennis Prager, and he is haltingly telling me a story because I keep interrupting. So go ahead.
So when I was a kid, I learned that a Christian, two things. Christians didn't need to observe the Old Testament laws, the Torah laws that I had to observe, which were many, many, because I grew up Orthodox. And what they had to do is believe in Jesus. I'm not saying that that's enough. I understand. Faith without works is dead. I didn't learn that later. But I'm not that's not germane to my point. My point is that I had, as a kid, through, I would say, high school, Christian envy. Boy, are they lucky. I have to do all these things. They don't have to do any of these things. All they have to do is believe in Jesus. Then, in my 30s, I was given... on ABC Radio in Los Angeles, my first radio work, 10 years, every week, 2 hours, no commercials, with clergy of all faiths. And that's when I fell in love with Christians. That was my first real exposure for 10 years every week. It was really great. And by year five or four, I remember thinking, I don't have Christian envy anymore. They traded in thoughts for ritual law. I'm guilty if I don't eat kosher. Okay. But I can handle that much better than being guilty for having a sinful thought. So I really thought Christians got the raw deal.
That's at least funny.
And
let's start
interesting.
There.
It is very interesting. Well, I think it is funny in a certain sense, but... believe that, by the way.
It's initially just funny, but it's also interesting, which is part of why it's funny, because it's so much more complex than you're putting it, and I think your understanding of it, you understand that there's great complexity here. In other words, if I have a sinful thought, right, I can repent of that thought.
Right.
I can ask God to forgive me.
Yeah, well, I could ask God to forgive me if I eat bacon.
Right.
So that doesn't matter. That's irrelevant. The fact is I'm guilty for eating bacon, and you're guilty for a sinful thought. I'm not guilty for a sinful thought, and you're not guilty for eating bacon.
But we still have to talk about what do we mean.
You're right.
By
we
a
do. That, well, all right.
Thought.
So the
we
example
have to define
is.
That.
So, okay. Well, you're right. Because one sinful thought, coveting, really is a sin. It's the 10th commandment. Coveting means I plan to take away what you own, what belongs
well,
to you.
Actually, I'm not. I mean, this bears a little more focus here. When somebody says, you know, you're not supposed to covet, right?
Yeah.
To my mind, it has to do with a desire for something that is
belongs to another.
It's not just that.
Yeah, that's the 10th commandment. Whatever belongs to your neighbor, it's very specific.
But what I'm trying to say is, if I can't steal my neighbor's ox,
right,
but I want to steal it,
yes, that's coveting.
Can't,
that's right.
Well, God says you're guilty because you want to steal it.
That's right. So you have to.
So
if
that's
it belongs,
a thought.
Yes, you're right. I'm saying, except for that,
right.
But I began with the lust issue, where I think for a lot of Christians, I know Christians as well as I know Jews, I think. And by the way, it's one of the great joys of my life, just to throw it out there. And I know Christians listening know that. So the notion that I will have a lustful thought I did a whole video for PragerU.
Okay, now we're going to go to a break. I'm going to drag you over into hour two because I just am enjoying this conversation.
Okay.
So, folks, don't go away. We'll be right back. Dennis Prager.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.